Preface of Love Letters of Mrs. Piozzi, written when she was 80. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by Carolyn. Love Letters of Mrs. Piozzi, written when she was 80, by Hester Lynch Piozzi. Preface. Before producing the evidence of the genuineness of the following letters, it seems proper first to remind the reader of some of the principal incidents in the life of Mrs. Piozzi, and to give a few particulars respecting Conway. Mrs. Piozzi's maiden name was Hester Lynch Salisbury. She was the daughter of John Salisbury, Esquire, of Bodwell, in Carnarvonshire, where she was born in 1740. She received a classical education, that is, she was taught Greek and Latin, of which, it seems, she had a gentleman's knowledge, a phrase which, though of higher pretence, is yet understood to imply something less than a scholar's acquaintance. In 1763 she married Henry Thrall, Esquire, an eminent brewer of Southwark, and in 1765 she appears to have first become acquainted with Dr. Johnson, who was introduced to Mr. Thrall by Arthur Murphy, an introduction which, in all probability, was at least as much desired by Mrs. Thrall as by her husband, for being both witty and what is called a blue stocking lady, she was partial to the society of men of wit and learning, and Dr. Johnson was then in the meridian of his fame. Mr. and Mrs. Thrall were greatly pleased with the conversation of Dr. Johnson, and he, being no less flattered by their kindly attentions, became a frequent visitor, and at length, in 1779, took up his residence with them, apartments being fitted up for him, both in their house in Southwark and in their villa at Streatham. By the death of her husband on the 4th of May, 1781, Mrs. Thrall was left a widow with four daughters, and from this period, from whatever cause, her friendship with Dr. Johnson began to decline. Perhaps the sprightly widow might not relish the doctor's conversation so much as she did when a wife, and perhaps the great moralist, in giving her advice, not only as her friend but as one of the executors of her late husband's will, might speak too freely to be agreeable. In an opinion which he expressed of her, after Mr. Thrall's decease, he said that if she was not the wisest woman in the world, she was undoubtedly one of the wittiest. And it is not unlikely that the fact became more strikingly apparent to him after she had become a widow. The wit of a lady in her weeds always arrests attention more forcibly than her wisdom. Though the friendship between Dr. Johnson and Mrs. Thrall began to decline on the death of her husband, the doctor still continued to visit Streatham. He, however, felt that he was no longer the welcome guest of former years, and, writing in 1782, observes in a tongue of regret that he had passed the summer at Streatham, but there was no Thrall. Mrs. Thrall's last interview with Dr. Johnson was in the spring of 1783, previous to her departure for Bath, where she intended to fix her future residence. They continued to correspond for upwards of a twelvemonth after, but Dr. Johnson having written to her on the 8th of July, 1784,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?